Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to a special online event today called Shamanic Journeying for Community Healing, How Shamanic Practices Can Heal Families, Communities, and Nations. My name is Stephen Dynan. I'm the founder and CEO of the Shift Network, and I'm really delighted and thrilled to be hosting one of my favorite people in the world with today. Her name is Sandra Ingerman, and she's one of the most respected teachers of shamanism with over 30 years of experience. She's taught workshops internationally on shamanic journeying and healing and is recognized for bridging ancient cross-cultural healing methods into our modern world. And I think this is particularly important work given the tumult and chaos of our times. It's really a time in which we need to anchor in deep spiritual practices and create sacred communities that can really be of service to the larger good. And that's a lot about what we're talking about today, is how we can be of service to a larger community. So thank you, Sandra, for joining us here today.
Thank you, Stephen. It's always a delight to be able to talk to you and to teach this course through the Shift Network. This is the course that I'll be teaching. Part two is one of my favorite all-time courses to teach. So I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to talk to you and our community.
Great. Well, the course that Sandra's mentioning is called Shamanic Journeying for Guidance and Healing Part 2, Practices for Divination, Collective Blessing, and Helping Others. And we're going to have a chance to hear more about that towards the end of today. But let's begin, Sandra, with a ritual invocation. I know it's so important, particularly when we're connecting at a distance and across all this technology, to really enter into a sacred space together so that we can practice what we're preaching and really create a community field. So how about you invoke us into a sacred space?
Absolutely. So everybody take a few deep breaths and just feel yourself settling in the best way that you can, just allowing whatever burdens and thoughts that you have, just put them aside for now, because the power of shamanism is about where we can fully take our spirit, our authentic self, into the unseen realms, and we actually can't carry our burdens along with us. And so as we're talking about the power of the unseen and how we can work in our communities during this turbulent time, let's begin by breathing deeply, allowing your heart to open, and really feeling gratitude. Gratitude is such an essential core practice in shamanism as well as in other traditions. And in shamanism, we talk about the web of life. And everything in the web of life, everything that's alive, has an energetic signature. The animals, the birds, the sea mammals, the invertebrates, the reptiles, plankton, insects, plants, moss, algae, rocks, crystals, microorganisms, everything that's alive brings an energetic signature into the web of life. And of course, as humans, we bring through an energetic signature too. And we don't want the web of life and this energetic signature to become a rational concept. We really want to feel that web moving through our body, a strong, shimmering web as a spider would weave, where we stand in incredible awe of its beauty. And how with our thoughts and our words, with the practices that we do, the whole entire web starts to shift and vibrate in a completely different way, where we can actually raise the vibration and we can help create health for all of life just by bringing gratitude and the power of gratitude and love and light and unity into our work. So just take a moment with your breath just to imagine yourself being connected to this amazing web that connects all of us. And as we do that, let's give thanks to the spirit of the shamanic ancestors that have been practicing shamanism for over 100,000 years. And they've sacrificed so much so that we can continue our practices to bring health and well-being into our own personal lives, our loved ones, our families, our communities, the cities we live in, and to nations and even the earth. And so we give thanks to our own helping and compassionate spirits who guide us, who light our way, whether we know who they are or not, they're always with us, and to the ancestors of shamanism who also continue to guide us as we continue to do our practices. And we give thanks to the web of life that continues to vibrate in such a beautiful way that makes us remember how precious and exquisite life is, and that we have so much to be in gratitude for, no matter what we're experiencing in our outer world. There's so much beauty and richness as we travel into the unseen realms and feel our connection with each other and all of life and the heartbeat of the earth. So I welcome everybody to this call as we start with the power of gratitude.
Well, thank you. What a beautiful way to begin. And the power of gratitude is part of what opens us to a wider possibility. And so much of shamanism is about opening ourselves to this, to the universe, to forces of nature, to animals. And I'd love for you to share a little bit about your journey into opening into the power of shamanic work for community healing. So really going beyond just the individualistic kind of model of healing to looking at larger wholes, larger collectives.
Well, one of the things that all practitioners of shamanism, including myself, have gotten to experience is when a client calls up and says, oh, I'm desperate for healing, you know, my life is falling apart, this is what's going on, or I'm dealing with a life-threatening illness, I'm going through a terrible divorce, you know, all the different things that we experience on a human level. When an appointment is made with one practitioner, we oftentimes see amazing results, I mean, just incredible healing results. But what we know, and I've collected probably over 10,000 case studies on shamanic healing that I've collected from different practitioners, and what we absolutely know, but is talked about in the shamanic literature also, is that when you bring together a few people to work in behalf of one client, the results become exponentially more powerful. And so I started my own healing practice off over 30 years ago, and I definitely bring in groups from time to time to help with difficult cases and have seen amazing things happen. And then over the years, especially from 2000 and on, I got really interested in how can we bring all these miracles that we experience with our clients into working with groups and reversing environmental pollution on the planet. And the great teaching that I've learned in doing this is that, yes, we can be successful with the work if we are willing to not ride the surface waves of shamanism, but really dive deep into those ancient practices that help communities survive for thousands, many different thousands of years. But I found that when we would gather groups together in a circle, we started seeing amazing results happen when we would pollute water or we would work with toxic substances. And we'd bring shamanic ceremonies in to work with transforming the toxicity in what we were working with or the illnesses that people were presenting at different gatherings and at workshops. And so that led me to get really passionate about bringing communities together to work. And not just bringing communities together to work, but teaching people how they can go back into their community and share simple shamanic ceremonies and practices that go beyond people's religious and spiritual beliefs, so that with all the turbulence that has been going on, I know it's still going on now and it keeps increasing, but I got to tell you, 35 years ago, there was also a lot of turbulence on the practice, you know, that was going on in the world too. And it just has become a passion for me to train people how to go back into their communities and share these simple ceremonies that do create change and do bring healing into families and communities and cities and nations wherever we're focusing on. And there's such a difference when you work in community versus working alone in the results that we get. But also, one of the illnesses in our culture is how we isolate ourselves. And so part of the work of healing our communities is to learn how to be in community and create communities that work together during challenging times to ask for healing and to ask for blessings so that our communities can become healthy again. It's like the organism of the web of life that I was talking about. The web of life is an organism that we're all connected to. Our communities are an organism. Our families are an organism. We can't separate out like we tend to do with body parts in our body. You know, this is my hand and it has nothing to do with other parts of my body. You know, we're all one organism. And as we learn how to work together in community, then the organism comes back into its wholeness and its health, because there's an inherent wisdom in every organism in how to thrive and not just survive.
I think that's a fascinating point. So just by joining the community, that we're actually naturally reconnecting with our wholeness. And then it sounds like we can also apply that wholeness or that like amplified field of energy to another situation for healing. So going beyond, if we've got our spiritual community, then we can apply that to something collective. Like you're saying, even whole ecosystems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've just seen incredible things happen. You know, we definitely have the results to show it. And I think that one of the important things that is really close to my heart, as somebody who has been watching the evolution of shamanism through the resurgence in our popular culture today, is that we've gotten really caught up in methodology. And, you know, that's part of what we do in our culture. What's the method? What's the technique that we're going to use? There's a city where we're having all these issues. There's a country where we're having all these issues. There's a family system where all these issues are going on. What's the right method? What's the right technique? And what's really important for everybody to understand about in shamanism is that the actual magic is behind the method and the technique and the practice. It has absolutely nothing to do with the method and the practice that we're doing. And so, you know, just to talk about this a little bit more, we might gather as a community and do this incredible fire ceremony, either in the physical world together or in a virtual situation, as, you know, I love to do in my Shift Network courses. And we think it's the singing and the dancing and the words that are being said and the actual method that we're using that's creating change. But that's not it. It's the silence between the drumming and the words that are being shared and the singing and the dancing that's going on that allows the shaman to step away from his or her humanness and to make contact with his or her own godlike self, divine self within. And that divine self within, in that silence, in that void, communes with the power of the universe and the divine without. And that's where the real magic happens. The activities that we do and the actual methods is for us as humans to feel like we're actively engaging in something. But when you see true shamans and mystics work, it's the power of sacred space that they create where the magic happens. It doesn't matter what method they're doing with a client or with a community. It's what's happening in between the method where that magic really occurs, because it's the divine in us communicating with the divine power of the universe, and that's where change happens. And so just to give a couple of examples of this, of, you know, the power of really creating sacred space and making contact with the ancestral spirits of the land, which to me, when we talk about healing communities, families, cities and nations, what we're actually talking about is creating sacred space and calling in the ancestral spirits of where we live and the lands that we want to work with to participate with us fully. And so just a couple of examples of this is, I used to teach at a retreat center in Santa Fe. I taught there since the year 2000, and I taught about 5 or 6 5-day workshops there a year. And I was so bonded with that land. It was a spiritual home for me. So magic happened every time I brought a group there because I was so bonded with the ancestral spirits. I journeyed to them on a regular basis, not just during the workshops, but before the workshops and after the workshops. And so we were, Santa Fe was in a terrible drought. It was looking like if you looked at a tree crosswise, it would just burst into flames. And we were supposed to do a fire ceremony one night, and I was like, no, we can't do this fire ceremony. The retreat center was going to let me do it indoors, but I knew that even indoors it was too dangerous for the land. And so I talked to the ancestors, and I said, you need to give me a sign of if I should cancel the ceremony. I knew the group would be devastated, but I didn't want to take the chance of what would happen if we tried to perform the ceremony. And so I asked the spirits to just give rain for 30 seconds at 3 o'clock in the afternoon if it was okay to do this ceremony. And there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And exactly at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it rained for 30 seconds.
Wow.
And you know, another story to go with that, I'm just trying to give some examples when you connect with the ancestral spirits and when you create sacred space. I was teaching a 5-day soul retrieval training in Tennessee during Hurricane Opal. And we were supposed to do a fire ceremony outside, and for obvious reasons, I mean, Hurricane Opal was a strong, destructive hurricane. And so we were going to crowd into this little space. I was teaching actually in a church retreat, and we were going to crowd into this little space and use this tiny little fireplace. And I knew it would work. You can create sacred space anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. You can create sacred space anywhere. So exactly the time we were supposed to start the ceremony, you know, we were just getting ready to do the invocation and light the fire. All of a sudden, the rain stopped. And I just screamed to the group, pick up your drums and rattles and let's go out to the fire pit. We had a run. It was a long distance. We all had wood in our hands. We built a fire. There were 36 people, so that meant it was an hour and a half ceremony minimum, not a drop of rain. And the second, the very last person put their effigy into the fire, the rain came back, and we ran back into the retreat center. And the point that I'm trying to make with all of this is that if we want to call back, let's say, the soul of a city that's been traumatized, or we want to work with a business that's going through a really hard time, or a family, or a company that is, or a country that's experiencing a lot of challenges, we don't have to get really lost in what is the structure of the ceremony going to look like. Because if we just travel together, as we do in the courses that I teach through the Shift Network, if we just go into a journey space and travel together, and like we did a soul retrieval for Fukushima once, and we brought flowers to the land, and we just said, we love you, and we talked to the land like it was a living being, not just that it was an object, but it was a living being, and we talked to the land as a living being and called back that soul. And that's what's really important when we start to talk about community healing, is bringing in that sacred space, talking to the ancestral spirits that are connected with the community and connected with the land, and bringing in the power of gratitude and love and light, and leaving our ordinary burdens behind. You cannot be focusing on the troubles that you're having in your life and have those kinds of miraculous experiences happen, but we do experience those kind of miraculous experiences when we can fully open up to sacred space. And I taught... I teach in my workshops how to create a prayer tree, and one of my students created a prayer tree at her house, and prayer trees are what we can use to tie ribbons on and pray for the earth and the world or a city or a family or a business. And this one student of mine put on a prayer on her tree through a ribbon. For her cousin that had, he was in a wheelchair, is in a wheelchair, and he had open wounds that were life-threatening, and nobody had any success with helping to close those wounds using medical treatment. And she went out every day. She was committed. She didn't just do it once. She kept going out on a regular basis, putting a ribbon on the tree for her cousin, and his wounds miraculously healed up, and now he has a prayer list where he's praying for other people. And, you know, so these are I'm just trying to share some stories of what we can do without getting so caught up in our rational mind about methods and how things work, but by approaching the work coming from a place of great love, light, and honoring the ancestors of the land and our own ancestors.
That's a beautiful orientation, and I kind of want to keep exploring that a little bit more about the how it works, even though you're saying that you can kind of let it go, and because I find it fascinating. And just so what I hear is that there is a kind of a guiding intelligence or a soul behind a city or a business or a place, that then when you're bringing positive intention and journeying to that, then it can start to align things, to allow energy to flow, to allow healing to happen. That's part of what I'm hearing, right?
Absolutely. When we bring the key in everything that you just said is we're bringing honor and respect into the organism that is the city, the company, the family, whatever. When you bring honor and respect into working with any living organism, and from a shamanic point of view, a city is a living organism, a country is a living organism, the earth is a living organism. When you bring honor, respect, love, light, and gratitude to any organism, healing starts to happen, and alignment and attunement starts to happen. Just being recognized, how many people recognize that a city is an entity, is a living entity. And when I first moved to Santa Fe, I have to say my life was just a nightmare. It couldn't have been worse. And I decided to journey to the spirit of Santa Fe, and she gave me 5 things to do, and I did all 5 things, and my life turned around to bring me to a complete place of harmony. But I never respected that I had come to a new place, I had traveled from a different land, I had moved into a new place, and I wasn't honoring the actual spirit that I had moved to, and recognizing her own life force. And when I did that, everything changed for me. And I've taught it to thousands of people to help them bring their lives back into harmony.
So now we're going through a particular phase of very intense tumult in the United States politically. And so how might you apply the same principles if they wanted to bring some collective healing? Because a lot of times people come in with a certain agenda, like they don't like a particular political leader, or they want a particular outcome. But I hear that it's actually there's more receptivity and just bringing in honor and respect to the deeper entity, let's say, of the American government. And then that's going to provide a certain clarification and healing and alignment.
Yeah, the focus of my healing of countries and environments and groups and even on individual level has been a classic shamanic way of working. It's not talked about in the popular literature, except for in the books that I write about, but you actually do see shamans work in this particular way, where instead of using an actual method, they radiate divine light, because everything is light. When you step away from your body and your mind, who we are beyond our skin is where spiritual light. And when you radiate light like a star does at night, it just radiates. It doesn't say, I'm going to radiate on the United States today. It just radiates light, or as the sun brings us light. And what we found through experiments, actually working with polluted and toxic substances and people who were ill, is when you just let light flow in a feminine way, this is a very feminine way of working. It's not doing anything. It's who you are. When you actually hold that space of light and hold that space of love, it stimulates the light in anything that you're focusing on. And so I've collected so many case studies where oil lines were getting ready to be drilled in a particular area, and communities got together, and what all they did, when I say what all, it's really a lot, what they did is they radiated light to the situation, and all of a sudden a decision has been made, we're not going to drill, for no reason. And we've seen this time and time again in court cases, in government situations like what we're experiencing in the United States today. If you can get a group of people together, which is what we do, you know, in the Shift Network, when you get a group of people together and just ask that light be radiated into that situation, change does occur and things start to move from a place of imbalance to a place of harmony. And, you know, we started out with scientific experiments trying to show how this works, and we're actually going to do one in the part two course where we actually test the results of some of our work with substances and people who are ill. But we've collected so many court cases, environmental cases, where things just started to shift. During a drought situation in Santa Fe where we lost millions of trees to the bark beetle, my husband and I, we couldn't water all the trees on our 5 acres. We just radiated light to the trees. And on 5 acres of trees, I think we lost five trees in a blight that ended up killing millions of trees. And so we've seen the results of the work, and you can do the same thing with a country and bring attunement and harmony back.
Let's talk a little bit more about the methodology. So do you need to, in terms of like how do you set it up and how do you do it safely and, you know, sort of how do you sort of bring people together and focus collective intention?
Well, the first thing for me as you talk about safety is we're really not used to working with collective fields of energy. You know, in ancient shamanic times, shamans worked in their local communities, but it wasn't like there was a lot of focus on what was happening in the world or bringing 1,000 people together, which we've done in some of the Shift Network courses that I've taught, to perform virtual ceremonies together in behalf of the earth and behalf of the group. And so we're not used to that. And so the biggest challenge that I have as a teacher is to get people to drop their burdens and all their negative thinking and what they're looping on about what's been going on in their day or the problems that they're having in their life or their feelings of hopelessness, to drop that for now. You can pick it up after the ceremony if you want to, but drop it for now so that we have a clean collective field to work. Because what's happening in the collective right now, and I can tell you that we're all experiencing this, is that there's so much going on in the world right now, not just in America, but in the world right now, that people are having nightmares, they're feeling ill, they're feeling disturbed, and they don't understand why. And it's because of how much negative energy is being brought into the collective fields. And so in ceremonial work, we have to step away from our humanness. We have to. And so I always have these beautiful guardian compassionate spirits do these cleansing ceremonies before we start our work. A spirit might come up to you with a feather and brush off all your burdens, or a spirit might whisper into your ear or touch your third eye or put its hand on your heart to dissolve whatever heartbreak you're feeling. So starting with preparation work and doing spiritual cleansing is so important. Otherwise, you end up contaminating the collective field. And so that's where I really focus on in the work, is making the field safe for the whole entire group to step into so that we all feel regenerated and refreshed and healed as we've also done our healing work in behalf of other people, communities, our families, loved ones, and the earth. So that's really important. Once you do that, and once you create sacred space, and once people are in an open-hearted space, that's where that divine communication I was talking about starts to happen, and everything kind of snowballs from there. The healing just starts to happen once we can get into that open-hearted space. And as far as radiating light goes, it's the simplest method for me to teach. I've been at conferences where the conference sponsors give me 5 minutes to teach people, 800 people in a conference, how to radiate light to perform a healing ceremony for the earth. And it's so easy to do because it's so easy for all of us to travel inside of ourselves into our inner landscape, into our inner world, and access who we are beyond our skin. And to access, I have people imagine an inner star just radiating effortlessly, or sunlight radiating effortlessly. We can all imagine a sun shining inside of us or a star shining inside of us. And just by doing that, we've been able to transform water that would kill any living being that drank it into drinkable water. And we have drank the water afterwards.
Wow, that's putting your money where your mouth is, right there.
Yeah. It certainly does.
Let's shift and focus a little bit on individuals as well. I know some of these same principles can work on empowering individuals or families. So it's not just the collective level or kind of what we think of as the sort of the natural world or souls. It's like this is also really useful for working with people directly and projecting strength and helping support them through challenges. So maybe share a little bit about that.
Absolutely. And so there are so many different layers to the work because, again, we're talking about unity and we're talking about that web of life that we're all connected to. And so if you do a ceremony to heal toxic water, your organism is going to be healed by that too. And so we're always working on many levels. And the reverse is true too. If I work with a client and I do a healing session on a client and that client's consciousness changes, that's going to affect the entire organism of the web of life that we're all connected to. And so for me, the work is about we're always working on an individual level. We have to work on an individual level. We can't move into raising our vibration that many of us talk about, and I talk about it all the time, unless our own personal healing happens and unless we start to feel empowered in our own personal lives. And so I would never teach a class on community healing without adding exercises and practices for people to experience that same kind of healing inside of themselves so that they're doing their personal work. And the same is true with a family. you can go into a family system that is where a lot of challenges are happening, and to acknowledge the challenges and to create sacred space and to have everybody move into an open-hearted space to be willing to work through a particular challenge. And just by that willingness to be open, whatever method or ceremony that you're doing, bringing in flowers, having people talk about how much they appreciate each other, even beyond the challenges that they're experiencing, again, there's an opening that starts to happen through that intention that's going to change that entire family system. Or I've had a student in one of my courses do some work where she journeyed for two companies that were getting ready to go into a legal battle, and was able to, in the non-ordinary worlds, create sacred space where the next day they both decided to drop the legal case and to find a way to work together. And so I know that there's this deep desire in us, let's dissect, okay, what did this student do, or what did we do with this family that created so much change and so much healing? But it really goes back to the power of creating sacred space, being a light and bringing that into our work. And it works on an individual level, on a family level, and also on a community level, too.
One thing I'd love to hear a little more about is how this process of getting guidance from a collective, so you're getting specific insights, like from Santa Fe, you said, where you're five things to do. So how do you actually do that? So you're going on a journey, and then are you visualizing the location somehow, and then just trusting whatever happens to pop into your mind? Or just curious, like, how do you actually get guidance from larger entities?
Well, the power of shamanism and the power of shamanic journeying, which is a practice of direct revolution, because there's no bosses that you have to listen to, and there's no leaders. It's only the spirits who you really have to pay attention to in asking for help. It's a system of direct revelation. And so the key in working with direct revelation and working with helping spirits is intention, setting your intention. So what all I had to do was say before my journey, I wish to meet with the spirit of Santa Fe. The drumming began, and this beautiful woman showed up and said, how can I help you? And I said, my life is a mess. And she said, I know. You came here to evolve, and these are things that you have to work through. And so anybody can do that. You set the intention, I want to journey to the spirit of the United States. I want to journey to the spirit of whatever country that you live in. It's all about intention. Intention creates action. And every time you set an intention in a journey, you have access to meet with the spirit of the land. You can journey to the power of the sun. You can journey to a rock or to a tree, as shamans have done for thousands of years. There's everything that is alive has a spirit, and anything that has a spirit we can talk to, either in the ordinary realms if we know how to open up our non-ordinary senses, or we can perform a shamanic journey where we go into the unseen realms and meet with the spirit of a tree, a rock, a city, a country, a company, A lot of my students work with returning the soul of a company and talking to the spirit of the company about what the spirit of the company needs to move into a place of abundance and into a place of harmony. You can speak to the spirit of anything in a journey, and that's one of the powers of shamanic journeying.
Fascinating. Well, there's so much that we can go into, and there's just all these little wormholes of new knowledge and possibility that we can explore. So I want to make sure that people have a chance to really hear about the opportunity in your upcoming program to put this into practice. So I'll share a little bit about this first. So Sandra is offering a program called Shamanic Journeying for Guidance and Healing Part 2. Now, it's not the sexiest title because it is part two, but it is accurate because it builds upon what she's been teaching in her part one and really taking it to another level of divination and collective blessing and helping others and doing community healing work. So it really is a fantastic program that takes the shamanic skill set and applies it into a wider orbit. So you can see the program at shamanicjourneyingcourse.com. Again, that's shamanicjourneyingcourse.com. And it's going to be a 12-week program, and we do this as a little longer program so that you have a chance to really build the field of connections and do the practices with each other. So this is very experiential. It's not a theoretical program. It's doing the collective healing work, doing the collective honoring and blessing and ritual work, and it will be tailored to the specific challenges of the moment too, so that we can really address what's going on in the collective. So you can see again the program at shamanicjourneyingcourse.com. And Sandra, I'd love for you to share in your own words what the journey you're going to be taking people on in this program.
Yeah, so there are going to be two levels of the course, because as we already talked about, you can't be in service to the community unless you work on yourself. So in just about every session that we're doing, we're working on ourselves and we're working in, I'm teaching you how to work in behalf of clients, a family, a community, a city, you know, the planet, and, you know, all of life. And so it's very packed. I teach, I'm originally from New York, and I'm a real New Yorker when I teach. I teach way too much material in the time that we have. And so that hour and a half, which I usually run over, is filled with journeys, and we always do a virtual ceremony for healing ourselves and also healing others. And so this particular course, besides working on our own personal evolution and healing, also involves how do we work with a client? How do we journey to our power animals, guardian spirits, teachers, and get an answer to a question that a loved one, a family member, a business, our community might have, or a client that you're working with? How do we do that? So I teach people how to do a divination journey for another person. And then one of the classic causes of illness in shamanism, some of the symptoms are depression, immune deficiency issues, chronic misfortune, all kinds of things. It's a classic shamanic illness is what's called lost power. And it is a method, a healing method, that I can teach very safely through teleconferencing. So I have no issues teaching how to do this. And so I teach the group how you can return a lost helping spirit to somebody who is dealing with mental, physical issues and also chronic misfortune. And we do that, and we also retrieve a power animal for our entire group that we can all consult with. And then we were really trained to live in the status quo, and that creates its own illness, because people no longer have that brilliant light shining out of their eyes as we see in people of other times. And so we do some work on remembering what our soul's purpose is, what our passion is, so that we can once again have that light shining out of our eyes again, which creates healing for ourselves and, again, everything in the web of life. And how do we retrieve the soul of a piece of land or a business or of a family that has lost it through some kind of trauma that happens? And so we come together and do a whole ceremony about that in our session, and then I teach people how to take that work into their families and their local communities and the businesses where they work. And then the exciting session that we do is Healing with Spiritual Light, where Sylvia Edwards, who is a dear friend and my webmaster, has a special camera called a GDV camera that is known throughout the world for being able to take pictures of energy fields. And she'll be in a hotel room in Colorado with a lot of toxic substances and people who have volunteered themselves who were ill, who she would have tested before and after. And our whole group will do a ceremony radiating light to that hotel room. And then we get to see the pictures of before and after of the substances and the people who we've tested. And then journeying into the future, working with ancient ones, there's so much information that people from the past and the future can give us about how do we bring our own personal lives back into harmony again, but what are the practices that we can integrate into our own work and teach others how to do to really create big changes during these turbulent times? And how do we take the passion for what we want to do, our own soul's purpose, and what is the shamanic work that we can do so that we can actually manifest our greatest dreams? And so we work with blessing and dreaming work and doing virtual ceremonies to bring blessings into our own life, to empower us to create the vision that we would like to see for ourselves, our loved ones, and for the entire earth. And I think working with death is a really important topic, in that it's really important for us to bring back in how to honor and respect those who are dying, because oftentimes people die in such a sterile environment without having somebody sitting with them, sharing their love, sharing their light, and helping take away the fear of death, which is so big in our culture. But from a shamanic point of view, death was never feared. It was seen as a rite of passage, as a transition, not as an end. So how do we bring back the beauty and the grace into that transitioning process? And so we do a session on that. And then when we look at the world through our ordinary eyes, what all we experience as humans is, well, we experience the beauty, of course, and we experience the joy, of course, but we oftentimes get caught up in the suffering that we're seeing. And so I'll teach people how to merge with a helping spirit so that they can really look through the eyes of spirit to get a completely different perspective on what's going on in the world right now, because the spirits see something very different than we're seeing about where we're at on the planet right now. And then finally, my goal is I want to send everybody out in this course to bridge shamanic work into their local communities. And so I go step by step. I actually have a 20-page handout that I've written up of how to structure healing work and ceremonies to bring into your local community, no matter what their religious or spiritual beliefs are, how to bring practices in for healing and for blessing in your local community. And so, you know, I really want to help people to feel like they're getting the personal healing they need while also giving tools to go out and do this work with one other, a family, a business, or bring the work to the communities, or how to gather people to work in a virtual way from different areas where people don't live in the same location, but to perform ceremonies that we can do for countries and for all of life and for environmental issues that are going on that are bigger than our local communities. So it's an incredibly full course where we really experience so many different layers to the work so that we're getting what we need on a personal level, but the tools that we need to be able to be in service to all of life.
Hmm. Well, I feel so grateful that we're offering this program and partnering with you on this, because it really is such important medicine for our individual spiritual path, but really taking it into that realm of serving the collective evolution and serving others, and in that process also discovering our own wholeness. I hearken back to what you said earlier, that by joining in collective processes like this, we come into our own fullness in a way that we can't just by ourselves. And so it's really part of what differentiates the shamanic path from so many other spiritual lineages, is to really consciously do this collective work and work for others, and divination and healing the land, and I mean, it's amazing all the subjects you're going to be covering. So again, you can find all the details at this at shamanicjourneyingcourse.com. It's going to run on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific time. Starts on June 20th. Again, June 20th, Tuesdays, 5 p.m. Pacific time. You get not only the 12 information-packed and practice sessions with Sandra, but also there's some time in small groups at the end of each class session, and you have the learning community as well. And in Sandra's courses, this particularly committed group of explorers around the world who come together, and so the community is very active, and she herself is very active in supporting and answering questions and really catalyzing the journey. So you're really cooking with this process through the full 12 weeks. You also get recordings and PDF transcripts, word for word, of every class session, and we've added in some amazing bonuses. You can see on the page there at shamanicjourneyingcourse.com. We have one with Imelda Almquist,
yes.
Natural-born shamans.
Mm-hmm.
You want to share a little about that?
Yeah, Imelda is doing incredibly brilliant work working with children, and that is part of this course that I didn't share, is how to teach children how to journey and do ceremonies. And so the bonus session with Imelda is really perfect because it adds to what I'll actually be teaching in the course of how she's working with children right now, and she's doing some really fabulous work with children and teens.
Wow. And then we also have some bonuses with some of the most renowned shamanic teachers, one with Hank Wesselman on the emergence of Western shamanism. Hank really bridges a more academic understanding with work with indigenous peoples in many different areas. He's a fascinating faculty for the Shift Network. Also one with Alberto Villodo, how shamans were the first neuroscientists. Alberto's renowned in bridging some of the Peruvian traditions to the West, and also looking at how to bridge that with modern scientific understanding. And then we have a full chapter of Sandra's book, Walking in Light, that's called Being a Shaman. And we also have an additional bonus with Michael Stone, who hosts our annual World Shamanism Summit or Global Shamanism Summit, and also is a teacher in his own right, and that's on embodied shamanism. He's got a background that bridges coaching with the world of shamanism, so really, and also dance community, so really focused on bringing shamanic journeying into an embodied practice, and that's a great extra bonus when you sign up today by midnight. So we've kept this. This is really, really a rich program. And one thing I should mention that if you're joining this program without having done the introductory part one, Shamanic Journey for Guidance and Healing 7-week program, that we actually have bundled that full 7-week program, which we encourage you to sign up early, preferably today, so that you can actually work your way through those modules and really have all the foundational understandings in place for the 12-week journey itself. So you're getting a lot of value, and you're really getting to join with an incredible community of people. And Sandra offers such a loving, beautiful presence throughout, and really guiding and teaching and supporting and healing, and just offering a really great template for what a modern-day shaman's work is like. So the investment is very reasonable, just three payments of $279, or you can do save about 10% or 20% when you pay in full at $794. So for the full 12 weeks plus the 7-week program plus all of the extra bonuses, it's a lot of value for the investment. And if you are happen to be listening to this call and you are a graduate of the 7-week program, there's a special link for you to register, which is non-bundled and has different pricing. So the program starts on June 20th, runs again on Tuesdays at 5 Pacific time, and is going to be an amazing adventure, and really could not come at a better time in terms of helping us navigate our collective challenges.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, Stephen, that when I shared some of those miraculous stories about Santa Fe and Tennessee, I wasn't sharing that this was about me and about my power. It was about that this is what all of us can do. These are the miracles that we can all experience as we learn how to talk and become in harmony with the ancestors of the land and the spirit of the land. So this was to inspire everybody that you too can create these miracles happening. And what an amazing experience, because we are in such turbulent times, to be able to be in such a loving, supportive community where we all have each other's backs, we're all communicating with each other, we're all supporting each other, and we're all riding the waves together. That is just such an incredible experience for all of us who join in such work together. Mm-hmm.
Well, you totally modeled that you're not like some teacher on high. You're very much in the community, and you're embracing other people's leadership and really stepping forward with the collective work and recognizing that we all have these deeper potentials within us. So thank you for that modeling and for that inspiration and for your beautiful teaching and healing work that you offer, Sandra.
Thank you, Stephen, and thanks for all the brilliant work you're doing out there, too. It's
beautiful.
Great. You're amazing.
Great. Well, thank you all. Thank you, Sandra, and thank you all. And again, go to shamanicjourneyingcourse.com to sign up for the part two journey, the 12-week journey that we've been talking about. And really, this is the best time to do this work, and where you are warmly invited, and it starts on June 20th, and you get the extra bonus of the embodied shamanism dialogue when you sign up today, and plus you get the extra time to make sure you've caught up on the whole 7-week foundational teachings of shamanic journeying for guidance and healing. So thank you all, and thank you, Sandra, and have a beautiful rest of your day. Goodbye now.